Tonight we're going to read the Nine Step Promises that are read at every meeting. And people go to the meeting and they think the Nine Step Promises are in this card. And they're just read usually off a card. And everybody says, great, and then there's some chants that we do, you know, are these extravagant promises? We think not, and all this stuff. But you know, I think when we do that, we trivialize the power of those promises and where they come in our recovery and what we have to do to get them. And I think to put it in perspective, in honor of Jimmy, if we could turn to page 63 in the big book. We make a decision in step three that we don't want to play God anymore. Does anybody agree that that's a good idea?
Yes.
So we're deciding we're not going to play God, and we're only on step three. And it says, when we take this position at the top of the page, all sorts of remarkable things follow. So by taking the third step and saying, God's going to be my director, and I'm not going to direct, I have a new employer, so I work for God. And then he's all powerful. Anybody believe that?
Yes.
Yes, he's all powerful. And he says he will provide what we need. This is a contract with me and God. He'll give me everything I need if I keep close to him and perform his work well. So the rest of the steps to where we are on the promises is how I keep close to him and I enable myself to do his work well. And so if I do that, then there's certain things that are going to happen in my life and be given to me by God. And that's what we're going to read about tonight, the Nine Step Promises. They're a gift. They're a gift that come to us if we stay close to him and we do his work well. If we do the work from page 63 to page 83. So if you want your life to change, you just have to do 20 pages of work. And it's actually a contract that if I do this, then certain things will happen. And so then we get to page 83 and we finish the ninth step. Remember, the ninth step is one that you never really completely finish because you're going to make amends for your harms, and some are living amends, and some are amends you can't do because it might harm people, and some you don't even remember yet. And as you stay here longer, you'll remember things that happened and things you have to make amends. Amends means to make right. You're going to sweep off the debris that's cluttered in your mind and be free of that with your ninth step. And then if you've done 4 through 9, your mind is clear enough now that God can direct it. And you've had a change in your personality as a result. So we read these, and I'm going to go through it. I hope we'll have time to have some discussion. If not, you can all have a resentment against me. But I looked up the words and the power of this. Now it says, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development. Now painstaking means a great care, a very thorough job. If you've been very thorough about this phase, and phase is a distinct stage in a process of change. Now I'm trying to change when I come in here. I don't want to be the person I was when I came in, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the self-centered person. I don't want to be under the power of alcohol. I don't want to have an unmanageable life by me anymore. I want to change. And the process of change is I became willing to change with my first step. I believed I could change from people in the room, and then I made a decision to change in the third step. And then if I do the steps 4 through 9, I'm changed. And the promises are what happens if you take these actions. And it says, I will be amazed, and development means process of growth. So notice the words here. If I'm thorough or take great care in this stage, and I'm working through a stages to change my personality, in my process of growth, I will be amazed. Now, amazed means filled with astonishment. I don't wake up one day and I think my way into this. I am amazed. Something happens to me and it comes from God. I'm just amazed before I'm halfway through. Halfway through what? The ninth step. I've done quite a bit of work at this point. And it says, I'm going to know a new freedom. And I've always asked, what was the old freedom? Well, it was only freedom in my mind. And the new freedom, and I looked it up, is the power to have right acting or thinking. Now, before I came in here, I couldn't have right acting or thinking. Anybody agree with that? Mm-hmm. Everybody's worried about where he's going to sit. There you go, Will.
Just wait. It's all about me. You can stop for a second.
All right. Can we get back to the reading? Everybody's staring at Will. We're going to know a new freedom, and the old freedom didn't work, right? Now, one of the things we ask for every day is freedom from the bondage of self. And the bondage of self is that with my own power, I don't have the ability to act right or think right, right? Because I see things wrong. I see them through my self-centered glasses. And a new happiness, which I looked up, is the state of contentment or peace. Now, before I came in here, I was irritable, restless, and discontented. And then I was free to think and act on my thoughts. It didn't work very well for me. I don't know how it worked for you, but that's how I got here. I made decisions based on self, which caused me harm. And it says, I'm not going to regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Now, I wondered, is that really true? Don't I regret the things I did? How can you not? But I looked up regret, and it can be sadness or disappointment caused by something beyond my control. See, when I managed my life and I was directing my life, I was my higher power. And I didn't have any power to do differently. I didn't know any differently. And my problem was that I had the wrong manager. And the right manager is God. But so if I look at it that way, that I had the wrong manager for me, and I had no power to do differently. Did anybody think they could have gotten here a day before they got here? You see, did anybody have a power to change their behavior when you look back? You would want to do it, but I didn't have the power to do it. In fact, I thought what I was doing made sense. It made sense to me. It may not have made sense to other people. So that's what I think it means, that when I don't regret the past, was to shut the door on it, because it's the key to me helping someone else. And I have to explain to them how they had their powerlessness and how by acting on their power, they did the things they did and the outcomes they had. And it says, I will comprehend, which means understand, the word serenity. And serenity is a state of being calm, peaceful, or untroubled. Now that's a good thing to have, right? It's good to be that. That's what we want when we come in here. Anybody come in here because I say, well, I'm really calm today and I'm feeling great. I'm going to go to AA. I'm going to work the steps. That's not usually what I hear from new people. It wasn't true for me. And I will know peace. Now, know means be aware of or realize. So you get the picture. Things are going to happen to you. You could be sitting in a chair at home, and these things are going to happen to you. And it's not anything that I got from being smart. It's not anything I earned. I don't earn this. I get it by letting go of everything in me that isn't God. I get close to Him and I get in line with God's will. And then this is the gift. I call this grace. They're really the grace promises. They come to us by God when we connect with Him. And it says, we will see how, no matter how far the scale, now I call it a sliding scale. You know, like you start out at 10 and then you get to 8. You say, we were pretty low. I was very low. I think I was below zero. And we will see how our experience, now experience is is an interesting word because we talk about it a lot. We have a spiritual experience, right? And we want to change. It's the observing, encountering, knowledge of practical wisdom gained from what we have observed. So our experience is something that we've observed and encountered, and we have knowledge of things by what we've seen. And it can benefit others. Do you think if you've worked the steps, people here have worked the steps, have you been able to work with other people? Have your experience, isn't that what we do here? We share our experience, strength, and hope. When we sponsor somebody, we're supposed to share our experience, what we did, and then direct them. If they want to have what I had, then this is what you do. And it says that feeling of uselessness. Now, feeling is an emotional state. And It's a feeling of uselessness is the ability to achieve a desired outcome. And I could never achieve really what I wanted. I always had moral and philosophical convictions galore. Any of you have those? Mm-hmm. And if I could just do it right, it would work. But I couldn't do it. And I felt useless. I couldn't fix things in myself. And self-pity will disappear. Notice the word disappear. Where are you? Where are you when it just disappears? What are you doing? See, it just happens. It's something that happens to us. It's given us. It's an awareness of a power in our life, which we call a spiritual awakening. We're awake to something happening and changing the way we are. And it's a gift. And it's not something we can never do. We have to take the actions to get there. But once we get there, and we're at this point, we're given these things. And self-pity is something that's really, really good. Excessive self-absorbed unhappiness over one's own troubles. Now, I think that's basically the normal way alcoholics think before they came in here. You know, how did these things happen to me? How did I get this way? And we're self-absorbed in our problems. And it just disappears. I'm going to lose interest. Where are you when you lose interest? What are you doing? What time of the day is it? I lose interest in my selfish things. It just happens. And I gain interest. I get something in other people. Now, when I came in here, did anybody do anything for someone else without having a self-centered motive? I think we did, but it was by mistake. Because Joe and Charlie said we never really did anything for anybody else without wanting something for us, something, except it was by mistake. And I thought, I listened to that, I said, well, that isn't true. And then I listened and thought about it, and it's probably true. Mm-hmm. And it says, seeking things for self is going to slip away. You notice the words again. It just slips away. And our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. It's just changed. Something happens that changes it. And fear of people and economic security leaves me. It just leaves me. Now, does anybody see the power of this? You start out selfish, self-centered on page 63. You ask God to be your director. You take the third step prayer. Your life's an effing mess. And you take the actions of 4 through 9, and look what happens. It's a gift. It's given to you. It's a miracle. And it says, fear just leaves me. Can you imagine fear just leaving you? It just leaves you. Look at the words he uses. And it's fear of people and economic insecurity. It says you won't have economic. Somebody wanted the money instead of the losing the fear. But you don't get the money, but you're not afraid of it anymore. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. You've heard that a lot, right? Anybody ever heard that before at a meeting? 18,000 times. And intuitively means without conscious reasoning. When I do something intuitively, it's not something that I can think out. It's just something comes into my conscious and tells me something. I know something, and that's when God's talking to us. We intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. Now, I've heard that read maybe 18 trillion times. And it baffled means totally bewildered, perplexed. But here's the interesting thing. We looked at the word baffle yesterday. Alcohol is what? Cunning, baffling, and powerful, right? Without help, it is too much for us. And on page, I think it's 34, which we studied yesterday, it says, for those who are unable to drink altogether, whether you can quit on a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which you've lost the power to choose whether to drink. And it says, there was a tremendous urge to stop forever. Anybody have that? Yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism. And so it says here, and I didn't see this before, that I will intuitively, God will show me how to handle a situation which used to baffle me, alcohol. That by the time I get to page 84, there's some power in me that I will intuitively say, bad idea. And I'm not baffled anymore by alcohol. Now these things just happen to us. And it says, I will suddenly realize, become fully aware, suddenly fully aware that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And I become fully aware, I suddenly realize that what was I doing when I suddenly realized that? You see, it just happens. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. The promises are spiritual gifts from God. If we take the actions, He will change us and we will get these things. And it says, are these extravagant promises? Extravagant means exceeding what it is reasonable. And a promise is something will be done, the declaration that something will be done. So basically, if you take the third step prayer and you make God your director, you make that decision, if you play the role God assigns and you stay close to Him, these promises will come true. It's absolutely guaranteed. It's like if you thoroughly follow the path, right? And I never saw it this way. These are promises. These are gifts from God. And it's a grace. It just comes to us. I don't earn this. I have to take action to get it. And if I take the action, then it says you will get this. They will materialize. And so it says they are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. So I don't know when your promises will come true to you. But I heard somebody say, it's quicker if you do the steps. And it takes a long time if you don't do the steps. So you're the only person that determines whether it's quickly or slowly. Now, some people think of that as the spiritual experience, slowly or quickly. But I think what they're saying in the big book now is it can come quickly to anyone when you do the work. And when you seek the relationship and you get a conscious contact with God, then He will give us these promises. They just come true. And it says they will only always materialize if we work for them. And then on page 25, Jimmy, there it is. On page 25, it says they're talking about the solution. And they tell us in this first paragraph that if I have this problem of a hopeless and futile life, and if I pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools, I've found much of heaven and be rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence which I could not have dreamed. Now, I don't know about you, but the promises are something I could not have dreamed when I came in here. And that is what you could think of as the fourth dimension of existence. And then it says, the great fact is this and nothing less, that we have had deep, effective spiritual experiences, and the spiritual experience revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, our fellows in God's universe. Isn't that what we just said in the promises? And here, the central fact of their lives today, it is true for me. I have absolute certainty that God, Creator, has entered into my heart and life in a way which is indeed miraculous. Just sitting here today and looking where I was years ago, who would imagine? Miraculous. See, miraculous means I couldn't do it. It happened. It's given to me. And it says, God has commenced to accomplish those things for me which I could never do by myself. And then, to put this in perspective, you read the promises, they sound great. And they may have come true for a lot of people in this room, and you can comment on that when I open it up. And it says, this thought brings me to step 10. So what's the thought? I've always wondered, what is the thought? The thought is, if I do the actions of 4 through 9, and if I'm painstaking about this phase of my development, these things will happen to me, and I will be changed, and things will materialize, and God is now doing for me what I could not do for myself. Now, having achieved that, how do you keep it? See, that's the warning in AA. You can achieve all this, but how do you keep it? And then AA gives us a program on how I keep it every minute, and it's called Step 10. See, Step 10 is how I inventory and I live all day long so the promises come true. So if the promises aren't coming true, I'm not connected with God right now. And so this thought brings us to Step 10, so that to stay in the promises, they suggest that I continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as I go along. Now, the mistakes are not driving too fast or, you know, at home, I make a lot of mistakes. You know, I did something today. I put the turkey in the wrong carton or something. She doesn't listen, don't worry. And but those aren't the mistakes they're talking about. It's mistakes in my thinking, that leads me to wrong action. And it says, I've vigorously commenced this way of living as I cleaned up the past. So as I've done 4 through 9, and I've vigorously done this, I am now in this way of living where the promises come true. Now here's the key line. It's not read in many meetings, but it's the key line, I think, in the book. I have entered the world of the Spirit. Now the whole goal of AA is to enter the world of the Spirit. And, well, where is that world? Why wasn't I in it before? Well, I was in the world of my spirit. I was in a world that I created. And remember, Chuck C said there's only one problem, conscious separation or conscious contact. And he draws this circle. He draws the whole world and God. The whole world and God. Everything in it. Now, where was I? I was out here. Now, who put myself out there? I did. I lived in the world of Michael's spirit, and it didn't go well. And none of the promises came true. And now by doing some work, I have conscious contact with God. I don't have to be separated, and I'm in the world of the Spirit, and the promises are coming true. Now there's a warning when you enter the world of the Spirit. It says to stay here, you need to work steps 4 through 9 all the time. And you need to pray and meditate to stay, improve your conscious contact with God. And you have to inventory every night about how when you separate it from God, how you get back and you ask God's forgiveness and corrective measures. And then next week, we'll go through step 10 and how we inventory all day when we're not in the world of the Spirit. And so I have a power today that if I seek that power and I wake up and I pray and I meditate, I start the day and I follow the instructions in step 10, I'll have a really good day because I'll be with God. And if I have a bad day, it's because I'm not being with God. And when I'm with God, I have serenity and peace. And I don't feel useless, and I don't have self-pity, and I'm not self-seeking, and my attitude towards people has changed, and I'm not living in fear. And I suddenly realize that God's doing for me what I can't do for myself, and I don't have to be baffled anymore. I just ask God. Remember, it says we pause when agitated, doubtful, and we ask God for the right thought or action. So 10 and 11 are powerful steps to help me live in this world of the Spirit. And if I'm in the world of the Spirit, I won't drink because God will tell me, bad idea. But if I separate from the world of the Spirit, I'm on my own. And it's very fragile. And so the next few pages, which we'll study next week, and I try to live in 84 to 88, tells me alcohol is a mortal foe, subtle. And I have a daily reprieve maintaining my fit spiritual condition, which means I need to stay in contact with God and try to stay in the world of the Spirit. None of us do it perfectly. Why? We see things with our self-centered eyes. But we have the ability now to know by doing 4 through 9 what's happening when I do that. And it says, I watch for resentment, selfishness, dishonesty, and fear when these crop up. So I'm with God now. Watch is a very spiritual term. I've been studying the scriptures, and when they use watch in the New Testament, it means with God. It means with God's power. And when you watch for these things, I'm in the world of the Spirit, and I'm watching for, I'm starting to get bothered. I'm judging. I'm getting a little fear. God, it's cropping up. I ask God at once to remove them. Now, we'll go through those directions next week. I'll close with this. But you see how it all ties together? You say the third step. You make a decision. You have a contract with God. You fulfill it by doing 4 through 9 as best you can. And then step 10 is where you do 4 through 9 the rest of your life. And then these promises will come true, and you'll have a new way of living. And it's a gift. It's a free gift. Everybody in this room can have this. There's nobody here. Well, there's some people who are too smart to do this. But you don't have to be smart to do this. But you have to let go of all your own ideas. You have to be willing to listen, and you have to be willing to take the actions. If you follow their path, it's going to come true. So I saw this differently for the first time, and I think it really makes sense to me. So we'll open up now. Congratulations on the birthday. It's just fantastic. Fantastic, guys. So I hope this was helpful, and I'll open it up. Thank you.